Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. I just want to welcome you in the powerful name of Jesus this morning as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. I just want to welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning. Just welcome. Receive this call to worship from Psalms 95, 6, and 7. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep under His care. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before You and thank You for the greatest gift that was ever given, Jesus. Your plan was perfect. You humbly brought Him to us to show us a way to be with You. Show us something new about Your plan that began so long ago. Help us to focus on Jesus, the true meaning of Christmas. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.
Good morning. I invite you to stand for worship if you are able. And invite you to join in as we sing about that unspeakable joy. The ushers forward on this next song. This morning's offering is going for the short-term missions fund, and also children may come up to give their coins for my coins count.
Let us pray. So, Father, thank you so much. Today is the best day. Today we get to thank you for the sending your Son. And thank you so much. Through that, you show us your true love for us. And we can't even understand that. And we thank you for that, Father. And we just ask that you show us how to love the rest of the world, how you love them, that we can be that light for you completely. And we give ourselves to you, Father, for we have no life without you. And we thank you for that. Help us understand your love more and more every single day, Father. And we just pray all this to you in Jesus' most wonderful and precious name. Amen.
Angels from the realms of glory, ring your flight o'er all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with Mary now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen. saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple chandelier. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sinners wrong with true repentance, room for guilt to endless pains. Justice now revokes the sentence, mercy calls you break your chains. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
It came upon a midnight air, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. He's on the earth, good will to men, from heaven's own gracious King.
Hark, the herald angels say, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Is born
but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. He will be despised and rejected. He will be pierced for your transgressions. He will be opposed and afflicted, led like a lamb to the slaughter. He will pour out his life unto death. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life. And by his wounds, you will be healed.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. Through a virgin came a word from a throne of endless glory to a
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you that we can come and praise you. Just thank you for your plan of salvation, whereby we could be reconciled to you. And Jesus, we just praise you as we remember your birth this morning, and we celebrate that you died on the cross and rose from the dead to save us from our sins. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you for the work that you do in our lives every day. We just pray that you would fill Tony this morning as he brings your message to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd invite any children to come forward. So good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
So what is this? A toaster. Good. You guys are very observant. It's not any ordinary toaster. It would be cool if it turned into a robot or something like that. But it is special. This was a wedding present for Teresa and I. So we've had this toaster for 21 years. We thought it wasn't working anymore, and we have another toaster at home, but cleaning all the junk out of it, I think it actually works yet, so we might keep it a while longer. So, do you want to hear the story that goes along with this toaster?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what is this? Now, that's a little more than a scratch. Well, it's kind of melted. So, do you know how this melted? No? Well, I'm going to tell you how it melted. Teresa and I were asleep, and we heard this loud bang, and so I was coaxed to get out of bed and go check out the noise. See, most husbands know what I'm talking about. So, as I walked into the kitchen, guess what I saw? This toaster laying on the red-hot burner of our stove. It fell off a shelf. And when it fell, it hit the knob, pushed the knob in, turned the knob on high, and fell on the burner. So if I had not gotten out of bed, we could have had a fire in our house. So this is something simple, like a mark on a toaster, that reminds me that God is watching over me and watching over my family and taking care of us. That's why we haven't gotten rid of it. Because of this mark on the toaster, and because of the story that goes along with it. So, what is the best gift that we could ever receive?
Jesus.
Yeah. It's not a car, even though that would be cool, or other things like that. It's Jesus. Jesus is the best gift. So Jesus came as a baby, and Joseph and Mary, they went to Bethlehem to be registered because there was a census. They had to go to their ancestry hometown and be registered. So I'm going to read Luke 2, 6, and 7. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is talking about Jesus being born. And so, just like my toaster was a gift, when you receive a gift, remember that the gift that God has given you that is the best is Jesus. And through Jesus, we have a way to be with God forever. And if we accept Jesus as our Savior, ask Him into our heart, and tell Him that we're sorry for the bad things that we have done, He forgives us. So who is the greatest gift? Jesus. God gave us Jesus, and that is the greatest gift. So we have the Christ candle. Does anybody want to light the Christ candle? Go ahead. That one might be easier. You gotta push it forward. There you go. Keeps going out. If I tilt the candle, does that make it easier?
It's not lighting.
It's not lighting. That's
there.
There we go. Good job. So I'd like to have a prayer for you guys, and then you can have two snacks then after we pray, because there's plenty in there. And no, I didn't bring a giant cookie like Larry did last Sunday. So I'd like to pray for you guys. Will you close your eyes and I'll pray? Heavenly Father, just bless these children. Help them to remember your gift to us, Jesus, so that they have a way to you. Draw them to a personal relationship with you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys have been great listeners. You can have two snacks and go back to your seats. And there's two different things in there, so if you want to eat, you can. Just remember that Jesus is the greatest gift that we have received. All right, can you hear me now? All right. Need to organize my stuff a little bit. All right. So, before we get farther into our message, I would like to have a prayer for the Hostetter family. Viola's Hostetter's son, Dennis, passed away on Friday. So I'd like to have a prayer for the family. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, just pour out your peace and comfort on the Hostetter family. Be with Viola and the rest of their family as they mourn the loss of Dennis. Just come close to them and hold them in your arms. Just give them a peace and comfort that passes all understanding. And I just pray that you will make yourself known to them in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd encourage you to continue to pray for the family during the next weeks and months coming. Well, good morning again. Teresa and I would like to thank you for your cards, your words of encouragement, your gifts. Just thank you for generously blessing us. And just thank you very much. We appreciate it so much. Before we get into our morning's message, I have some things I'd like to share with you. So a few Sundays ago, I had you exercise your spiritual gift of healing. And I asked some young men up front here to pray for me because my shoulder was bothering me. They prayed in faith, and God answered their prayer. So on Monday, which is the next day after I was prayed for, my shoulder felt better. The next day, on Tuesday, I'd say my shoulder was 90% better. So in 2 days, it went from hurting to 90% better. I mean, it was weeks that it was bothering me, and it was going downhill. It was not getting any better. It was getting worse. So I'd like to praise God for his faithfulness, answering prayers, that he is healing my shoulder. It's about 95% right now. It's not 100%, but it's at 95%, which is much better than where it was. And when I said we need to share how God is working in our lives, that includes me when I gave that message. So I have some prayer requests for you. You can write these down or make mental notes. I have a list of things. I went to the doctor about a week ago with some lower abdominal pain. They believe I have an intermittent hernia. I have another doctor appointment in a few weeks, so you can be in prayer for me and my family as we figure out what the next steps are going to be. And that's just what they think it is. They have not diagnosed it that for sure. Teresa and I would like to have you pray for us because we believe that God is calling us to this pastoral role. And part of this pastoral role and stepping into it is more education. I want more education. I need more education. And as I'm being considered for Larry's role, this is what we're looking at. We have a couple options in front of us that we're looking at, so we're asking for you to pray for us so we know how to move forward, where God is leading us, where God is wanting us to go. And as far as a timeline for me getting more education, it would be after Larry and I would switch roles that is being proposed for the end of next year, if and when that goes through. Because my schedule right now does not allow that. I was looking at taking a class over the winter, and it's just like, I just can't fit that in. I have to take family time away if I want to fit that in, and I do not want to do that. Another prayer item that Teresa and I have for you, we will be going in front of the Credentialing Commission on January 12th. You can pray for wisdom and discernment for all those involved in this process. Pray that God would make his plan clear and his direction known, and that along with that, that goes along for you here at Bowmansville, that God would give you clear direction as a congregation. This is a time to be in prayer, asking God what he wants us to do, how he wants us to proceed, not just check a box and move on. We need to spend time in prayer and seeking God. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask me or Larry or anyone of the pastoral team or our Bishop Eric. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you have. Another area of prayer is for God's vision for our church. What direction he wants us to go. This is a continual prayer. It's not just for when Larry's the lead pastor or the next pastor or the next pastor. Just hold us up in your prayers as a leadership team, so we can receive God's leading and guidance, how we're supposed to lead you, our congregation. And if you ask me what my vision is for our church, I'm going to say, whatever God wants to do, let's do it, and wherever God wants to go, let's go. That's kind of a vague answer, I know. And this is something that I have not done a lot of, seeking God's vision. And part of seeking God's vision is being observant and seeing where God is at work and moving, in which there's many things in our church where God is working and God is moving. there's also a step of spending time in prayer and spending time asking God what his vision is for our church. So that's something that we can do together, not just the pastoral team or our lead pastor. That's something that everyone can do, is pray for vision for our church. And these are just some of the things I wanted to share a little bit about before we go to the credentialing commission and have our interview, before ballots are being sent out to you as a congregation, so that you can be in prayer with us and be informed, and how you can pray for us as well. So now it's time for our morning message. We're going to get into the message this morning, and it's Dare to Imagine God's Robe of Righteousness. I don't think we can ever begin to imagine the righteousness of God. Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and his robe filled the temple. Isaiah is having a vision of God on his throne. He's seeing this in his vision. And as this vision progresses, we see the hem of God's robe filling the temple. The hem of the robe. That's just the bottom little part of the robe filling the temple. That's not the whole robe. That's just a little piece of it filling the whole temple. He goes on to describe what he is seeing and God's call to him personally to go to the nation of Israel and get them to come back to God and be faithful. This verse gives us a small glimpse of the righteousness of God and how vast it is. Just the edge of that robe of God fills the entire temple. The robe is a physical covering, and it also symbolizes belief in the Bible. What you believe and how you believe it determines what your robe looks like. Is your belief in God, or is your belief in the world? So we're going to look at some physical robes in the Bible as coverings, and then we're going to move into the symbolism that we see in other places in the Bible. So in Genesis 37:3, now Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons, because Joseph was a son born to him in his old age, and he made a robe of many colors for him. Joseph had this colorful robe, and it was a status symbol of his father's love. It was special. It was made specially for him, and his brothers had nothing like it. And his brothers hated him because of this. Genesis 37:18, they saw him in the distance, and before he had reached them, they plotted to kill him. He was easily identified by the robe he was wearing from a distance. His brothers plotted to kill him, but then they ended up selling him, and that robe would have stood out from a long way off. They could have seen him coming from a long distance just by the robe that he was wearing. Then you move to 1 Samuel. After Samuel was dedicated to the Lord and stayed in Shiloh, he was serving the Lord in the temple. Samuel's mother would bring him a new robe each year. As she came to make her annual sacrifice, she would bring a new robe. And these are just two examples of robes being coverings. Yet they were special. They were different robes. One because Samuel was serving God, and one that had many colors showing the Father's love. So we're going to move into the symbolism part of the message. And you may be thinking, how is this a Christmas message? Well, we'll get there, I hope. So we're going to look at Revelations 7, 9 to 15. After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and unto the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and along with the elders and the four living creatures, they fell face down before the throne and worshiped God. saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, Who are these people in white robes, and where did they come from? I said to him, Sir, you know. Then he told me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. The one seated on the throne will shelter them. There was a great multitude of people from all over the world standing before the throne of God, and it couldn't be numbered. It was that many people that it couldn't be numbered. They were standing before Jesus, the Lamb. The people were wearing white robes. They were giving honor and praise to Jesus and the Father. We move down to verse 14. They washed their robe in the blood of the Lamb. They were made white. The people were being cleansed because they accepted Jesus as their Savior. They put their faith in Him. We as sinners have filthy robes. We are covered in stains and spots that we can't remove because I am good enough. I'm a good enough person. It just doesn't work. The world says, if you are good, that's all you need. Do whatever feels good. You're your own God. That's what the world says. But there is only one way to remove the sin and stains from our robes. That way, the only way, is the blood of Jesus. We are washed clean. We are made righteous before God. God in His infinite wisdom planned this from the beginning. For Jesus to be the Lamb, that He would pay our debt. God knew that we needed a Savior because we are not righteous. God sent Jesus to the earth in such a humble way. God knew that we would need a Savior that went through this life just like we did. Jesus living a life like us, yet not sinning. He showed us that God wanted a close relationship with us. He is showing us the perfect example to strive for each day, living how Jesus did. This day we are celebrating is the start of a journey that started so long ago for us, so that we could be washed and be made right before God, not because we're good enough, but because God loves us so much. Jesus, God's Son, paid with His life. Jesus' birth was foretold, and it came to pass. His death, His resurrection, they were foretold, and it came to pass. All of this so that we would have a way to be washed clean from our sins. This was necessary so we could be like that multitude that we saw earlier and stand before the throne of God and praise and worship Him forever. No sin, no spot, no blemish can stand in the presence of God. And God's Word, it's not separate. It's not random stories. They're woven together into a tapestry that point to Him. Revelations 22, 12 to 14. Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by its gates. Jesus is coming back, not as a humble baby, living as we do, setting an example for us to strive for. He is coming back as a conquering king. And when he does return, we need to have our robe washed by accepting Jesus as our Savior, to be made righteous by God through the blood of Jesus. And we'll have the right to the tree of life. And we may enter his kingdom forever. We can go through the gates into his eternal kingdom. Jesus' birth, his life, his death and resurrection all point to God the Father caring about each and every one of us. So as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the reason for Christmas, the reason for this season, we need to focus on every part of Jesus' life and the way that each part happened, because they all fit together. All this happened so that we can be washed and be made clean by the blood of the Lamb and be right before God. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing Jesus as a baby to us. We thank you for giving us a way to be washed, be made clean and pure. Thank you that we can stand in your kingdom, praising and worshiping you. Help us to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And again, I lift up the Hostetter family to you. Just give them a peace and a comfort that passes all understanding. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. I'd invite our worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
Well, I'd invite you to sing along on this song. It may not be familiar words to you, but it is to the tune of How Great Thou Art. And this is a song that just these words really touch my heart, and this is one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Hear it all. Good morning. Merry Christmas to everyone, and I pray for a blessed new year for all. Just a couple of quick things for you. First, if you haven't noticed, there are baskets in the front and the rear for MDS as we're collecting to help those who are helping those who have been struck by the tornadoes in Kentucky and Tennessee. And so please give generously to that. Also, if you have not been prepared to give to that, you may also give next week, just please designate. And speaking of that, I want to remind you, if you haven't gotten your envelopes for next year, please check your box. Or if you have not gotten these envelopes in the past, please see myself or Heather Whitmer, and we can make sure that you get envelopes for contributions in the future. Also, it was included in your mailboxes, but there are extras regarding the offering schedule. And what this is every week there's money, other than the second Sundays, that goes towards our budget for the church, and the overages go to these organizations. So please keep that in mind as you contribute. And if you wish to designate for something other than that's mentioned that Sunday, you may also do so on the envelope on the second line. So just as a little reminder regarding these, if you drop in a third Sunday envelope on the fourth Sunday, unless you have it circled, we just consider it a fourth Sunday envelope. All right, so if you wish to make sure it's designated for a different Sunday or whatever, please circle or highlight. Also, remember that next week, actually on Saturday, starts 2022. So please make sure your checks have 2022 on them. If not, then your checks are a year old and we can't cash them and things like that. So we want to make sure of that. So just a couple of little reminders. If you have any other questions regarding offering, etc., please see Heather or myself. Thank you very much. Have a blessed new year.
Thank you, Sheldon. Will you stand for the parting blessing? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God bless you. Go in peace. Celebrate the gift that God has given us, Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.